Auckland Grey Power is pleased to sponsor this edition of Senior Focus.
Welcome everyone, and I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your presenter today for the Senior Focus session. Now, a happy new year to you all. I'm sure I've said that before now, but it still feels like the start of the year. And some of us are doing a bit of reflecting on where we've been and where we're going. And there's lots of people looking at strategy and direction in various areas of council and government. So it's a good time for Grey Power to be having those conversations too about what emphasis we're going to put on certain policies. And in the last 12 months on air, we've talked specifically about the need for an aged care commissioner, and that just hasn't gone away because there hasn't been any detailed conversation coming from government. Although there were promises by Labor and Greens in the lead up to the election, yes, there was a need for an aged care commissioner. Yes, there's undoubtedly many situations in which elders are being abused financially or in the quality of care and rest homes. Or there's many different environments in which they need a champion who can take cases through the courts because family members can't afford to do that very often. Or there may not be family around. that also is part of the issue. So, yes, the evidence is there, and other countries have moved, Ireland and Wales and Australia now have set up an office to look into aged care, and that commission and the commission staff and resources are supplied there by the central government. Of course, in Australia, they also have state governments that supply additional funding at local level. But at least there is a policy platform right from the top at government level, and that person has status in cabinet. That is what Grey Power wants here, and that isn't going to be a wish list that we lie down with or put under the carpet. It is definitely near the top, if not at the top, of our list for the year, this year. Now, it's not something that council can do a lot about, but I dare say there are many examples in dealing with developers, dealing with resource consents, in housing provision and so on, that would interest an aged care commissioner. If you like, it's structural change needed in society because people are not getting equity issues resolved. They're not getting fair access to things. And so there would be a wider champion role of needs of the older population coming into that role, I think. But then there would be overlap with the Office of Seniors. So the Office of Seniors is a particularly useful government department because it works with statistics from Statistics New Zealand. It has a small staff, a skeletal staff of about five, and it supplies information to the minister direct. And the head of that office, Diane Turner, has done an excellent job. And when there are conferences, local government conferences, conferences about planning the future of cities and so on, then you will find the Office of Seniors somewhere on the program or running stalls and information kind of booths just to inform the staff at councils around the country just what is going to benefit seniors, what they need to be thinking about with a rapidly growing ageing population. And while some areas of the country have a very high senior population, you take, for example, Thames and the Coromandel, very high senior population. Take within our own Auckland region, Whangaparawa, Great Barrier Island and Waiheke, they all have very significant numbers of seniors. They are in the majority. So, or almost. So it's like in the future, when we get to 2035, we're going to have 1 in 4 New Zealanders in Auckland alone will be over 65. So we used to say in social science that when you got 10% of the population doing something or exhibiting something or being at a particular stage of development, then that was a norm. Well, this will be much more than a norm. This will be like a very big mass of people. And so when you're catering and planning, when you're thinking ahead, you can't start at 2030 for this sort of change, this demographic shift. It's too late. It takes a good 10 years at council to get things moved and positioned and things built properly in the way that they need to be built, reflecting on mobility and access issues that an older population will have. Even the housing that's being built at the moment, the specifications for a lot of the Kiwi build, and that's a government issue, of course, but they are not accessible houses, not enough of them. So given the needs in the population, compared with what they're doing in Canada, where they're making them 100% accessible. Because over there they're saying, look, if they've got an older population, then even those that are able-bodied and don't need the accessibility aspect, they still visit their friends who may need that, or vice versa. So it's no use if somebody's able-bodied and their friend in a wheelchair can't visit them. It immediately restricts their life and their choices. So they've gone the whole hog and said, look, all places need to be 100% accessible because you never know who's going to break a leg, who's going to be temporarily needing that access. It could be anyone in the population at any point in time, but overall they know that it's in the 16 to 20% range now and it's going to get much bigger. So they've decided to bite the bullet and plan for 100% accessibility. So GRAPE has got a very big job ahead of it in terms of lobbying councils and government about the needs of a rapidly growing ageing population, whether it's the accessibility aspect or whether it's just the actual provision of choice, because so often people are in large homes, they've been in for a number of years, but where do they downsize to? I mean, there is the choice of going to a retirement village, but then the snags with that. I mean, there's no security of tenure. If a retirement village goes bankrupt, like they did in New Plymouth, what happens? People are left with absolutely nothing, no service. They've gone in there because they thought they were going to get the service that they needed to support them in older age. So without the service, they're on hiding to nothing, so to speak. So in leaving the village, they walk out with nothing because their license to occupy is simply that. It's a license to occupy. And that's what they've purchased, not the bricks and mortar. And when it comes to insurance payouts, they don't go to the people who live in the units. They go to the company. So with the earthquake in Christchurch in the red zone, that retirement village, everyone was forced out and they got nothing. And some of those people are still couch surfing now today because they weren't able, they didn't have the resources to start again. And it's very difficult, even if you work in older age and have the pension, you still really can't make up for losing a lifetime of savings. So going back to options, those that do well in old age and actually are the happiest seniors and the ones who live the longest, they're the ones who are living in their own home, but it has to be manageable. So that's an area where we have a lot of dialogue with our seniors here in Auckland, and recently had a man who checked out the possibility of building a granny flat on his site, and the actual cost of a resource consent was going to be really horrendous because it needed a fresh stormwater connection, and that was going to be $150,000 before he did anything. Now, fortunately, there's a very good story here because he actually looked into the fact that he had a garage with plumbing in it already, and he could simply modify the garage. He could have it insulated, he could have insulation put on the roof, he could have it rebuilt internally so that it was quite swish and very attractive, and he didn't need to get a resource consent. He didn't need to change anything other than spend the money on doing the interior. So he's done that, and now he's going to be able to rent out the big house and use that money to support his wife who's in care, because her bill is about $7,000 a month. And this is the kind of situation that people grapple with, and I think that quite often politicians and those who set policies don't really understand some of the realities that people are grappling with, that people are living with. And that's why Grey Power is a storyteller. We tell people's stories. We voice people's concerns. We are the voice of the voiceless. We're there to shed light on what are the things that are likely to happen in the next 5 to 10 years that planners need to be aware of. So my role was always looking for new avenues for publicity. So this year we've got opportunities for writing in the Yonehunga News, in the Beacon, and I gather there's a new local kind of rag coming out in Roskill, which I'll be keen to supply information to. And there's also a revamp of the Central Leader, so writing letters to the Central Leader on local issues may be a worthwhile exercise again. It certainly hasn't been recently. So there's quite a lot of media locally that we can tap into in different ways. And, of course, the Herald did manage to publish my letter about community housing over the summer. So there's a bit of an opening there, and I think because it's such a hot topic, housing, I think we will be able to get more letters into the editor this year, I'm hoping. So that's on the print media front. We're continuing with our radio program here, and we're always keen to hear from people who've got topics they want aired, people they want interviewed, have ideas for the program, or want to come on the program as a guest. So if you want to contact me, the best way is Anne-Marie Currie, so that's A-N-N-E, Marie, M-A-R-I-E, dot Currie, C-O-U-R-Y, at gmail.com. And as it's a personal email, I do look at it daily and I do keep up to date on it. I have other official ones that for Grey Power, but they actually end up getting used by a lot of other people. So this is really the best way to catch me on the hoof, so to speak. So I welcome your comments at any stage and any feedback that you've got for us. It's really exciting to hear from listeners and to know how a program is being responded to. So we do encourage you to get in touch with us. Now, upcoming events for the month of February. The big one, of course, is Waitangi Day, and some of our members are going up to Waitangi this year. I think it's going to be very interesting. We've got quite a few people from our area going, but I myself will be going to Ngāti Whātua or Rākai, and there will be a seniors tent, and we'll be able to view all the action there, and we won't have to worry about sunburn. So if you're interested in coming along, it's open to the public, and the gathering place is at the top of Coupe Street, just at the entrance to the Marae, and we'll be gathering there at 9:50, and then we'll go on at 10 o'clock, and it will be a full Porphyry welcome, and there's usually seating and everything is very well organised. There is a lot of interesting music for young and old, a lot of performers, and lots of interesting food trucks and stalls and opportunities to mix and mingle with people from all across the city. It's a magnificent site. It's really the jewel in the crown of Auckland, and you can walk right across Bastion Point, that remarkable land that the iwi saved by camping on for over 500 days back in the day while they fought to preserve their ownership of it. Now, for people who've never been to a marae before or who don't know anything about it, it's quite an experience, and there are a number of seniors groups coming along. They'll be gathering at the gate too, and I think that it will be easy for people to come and join in with those older folk and come on, and just you'll be amazed at how welcoming and how much of an atmosphere there is there, and how special it is being there. So it's not so much that proceedings will go on in the meeting house. It's much more like a market day. It's not heavy politics particularly. It's not like Waitangi. But it is an opportunity to mix and mingle with people you perhaps wouldn't meet normally. So I recommend it entirely. Now, we don't have a public meeting ourselves in February. We always do ours on the first Friday of the month in Blockhouse Bay. Now, it was too soon to do something on the 1st of February, because he would have had to have done a newsletter at Christmas to get it out in time to tell people, and we weren't that organised. Most of us wanted a holiday. But we are going to gather on the 24th of February to celebrate the inaugural bus ride from Lynfield to Blockhouse Bay, and that's particularly good for seniors and disabled people who've got face a massive hill they have to walk up otherwise. There's never been a bus there, and it was promised 22 years ago but didn't materialise until now. So it's quite auspicious, and we hope to be having a group on the bus, and we'll announce more about the actual route. It's unfortunately the inaugural ride will be 7 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, because that's when AT always put their new routes out and start them. However, we have lots of faith that people will get up and come and make an effort and have breakfast with us in Blockhouse Bay. So Senior Net and Amanasco House and other seniors involved in senior hubs in the area will be all involved too on the day. Now, our first meeting of the year is the 1st of March at 1 p.m. in the Blockhouse Bay Community Centre, and that meeting is focusing on ageing well, on the Brain Research New Zealand team, their research, on the research that's come through from the LILAC study, and also we have some other research that we want to talk about as well on that day. So we've got a number of people coming to speak, and Retina in New Zealand are sending along two of their team as well to do a presentation, because early identification of visual loss or low vision issues can help people significantly, and you can actually delay a lot of the impact of macular degeneration if you start early enough. So it's a matter of recognising what's happening and stepping in early. So they'll be able to help with that, and I guess there's always take-home material, and there's always opportunities to meet new members and find out more about us if you haven't been to a Grey Power meeting before. So Blockhouse Bay Road, 524, the number is right before the roundabout by the chemist and opposite the medical centre. It's not hard to find in this parking behind, but there are five bus routes coming in there from all over the city, so we're trying to cater for everyone. Now, I'm going to switch to some music, and I think it's really important to focus on peace and to have a vision of peace. So I've chosen a track from my Joe Cocker album. I hope you like it.
is long. There are mountains in our way, but we climb the stairs every day. Love lift us up where we belong, where the eagles cry on the mountain high. Love lift us up where we belong, up from the world below, up where the clear winds blow. Their lives looking behind.
All we have is here and now. All our lives are there to find.
The road is long. There are mountains in our way, but we climb a step every day.
Love lift us up where we belong, where the eagles cry on a mountain high. Love lift us up where we belong.
Welcome back. And to finish this program, I'm going to talk about women in leadership, because there's been quite a lot focused on in the last year about the gender pay gap, the domestic violence issues, and a number of prominent women, including Helen Clark, have directed a letter at the Prime Minister wanting action. So I imagine that the International Women's Day in March this year is going to be quite dynamic. And from the ethnic communities, I know that the Indian community and other ethnic groups, their women have got together and they're holding a big celebration at the Fickling Centre in Mount Roskill. And that's going to be on the 9th of March. Although the official date is the 8th, they'll be meeting on the 9th of March. And we'll give an announcement about this again before the actual day. Now, I'll be focusing on some other issues, and I won't be in Auckland, unfortunately, on the 8th or the 9th, but I am preparing a video clip which I hope will get screened at some of these meetings. And so the key thing to remember is that quality women need to be encouraged to be standing. So City Vision, that's Labour, Greens and Community Independence, they have their selection on the 28th of they're having their selection in March, but their actual closing for candidates is the 28th of February. So that's something where you can go on their Facebook page for City Vision and find details about how to be a candidate if you're interested. And you can talk to people who are City Vision elected candidates now. And I noticed that there are more women being encouraged to stand for boards, and the Women's Affairs keeps a kind of directory of their nomination service, and then people get nominated for public sector roles. So some of our ex-members are getting promoted, and Patricia Reid has just been appointed to the Careers New Zealand Board. We've had some other successes too, and I think it's very interesting that we have nearly 50% of leadership roles in Grey Power held by women now, and that's a huge shift in the last 10 years. So we look forward to our AGM coming up in May, where we hope we'll see even more women elected into federation roles. I know that it's a challenge sometimes to stand for public roles, and it's a challenge to be an elected representative, but we need to have all genders present, and we need an ethnic spread of those genders as well. And that's why it's great to see ethnic women standing for at International Women's Day and celebrating. And appropriate music to finish on, Up Where We Belong, again from the Joe Cocker album. So we'll look forward to being with you again on future Sundays. Thank you. With Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus, and do note Senior Focus is one word.